Good day and good evening, my friends, wherever you are. From the hot west coast of Sweden, this is your host, Henrik Palmgren, editor of the website red-ice.net. Thank you for tuning in to Red Ice Radio. This is our weekly show here on bbsradio.com, and you can hear us here every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific or 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And I'm glad you are here, and I hope that you know that we will continue today with our part three of our ongoing series with Michael Sarion. And of course, we will also continue with our contest. So I hope we have some hungry listeners out there who are tuning in live and would like to give us a call later on as we get to round three of our contest. And I can also mention that last week, Daniel Whittaker from Leeds, England, sent us a mail after the show with the correct answer. And Michael's question, of course, was where the Stone of Bethel is located. And it was a bit of a tricky one, but after a few answers, we got the correct one, which, of course, was Newgrange in Ireland, for all of you wondering about that. So congratulations to Daniel Whittaker on the DVD there. And we still have four left of the from the series, Origins and Oracle series, to hand out. So participate in today's show in the contest, and if you win, you'll be able to pick the one of your choice of the remaining ones. So this is the number you should call when the time comes later on. 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And just add 001 in front of that number if you're calling from outside the U.S. And we'll be giving out those numbers again later on, so no worries about that. And now we have gone through a few of the many areas of Michael's research, and as we continue, as we progress forward here to try to, you know, we're going to try to tie this all together for you, and there are so many different areas to touch upon and many threads to unravel, and this stuff needs to be, you know, sorted out if we're going to be able to understand all of the crazy stuff that is happening here today. And to dive into it, I mean, this is about, you know, we're going to talk a little bit today about Judaism and the connections to Freemasonry and, you know, the secret societies of both the modern and the ancient world, like the cult of Aton, and how they are behind the creation of the Bible and now the end times of this game plan that is described in the Bible is being played out, you know, a third world war, basically. If you let me highlight again a quote here that Michael first brought to my attention a while back, that is a quote by Albert Pike when he wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini. And Albert Pike, of course, is the sovereign grand commander of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. And he wrote this, "The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agenter of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the State of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. With that, I say welcome back to the program, Michael, and what do you think about that quote?
Yeah, hi, San Henrik. That's a great quote, and again, could say several things about it. First of all, these guys who write that are writing to their own brothers, so they're not just shooting the breeze. They're not addressing the public, and that's why we can trust what they're saying. We need to read every word very carefully. We need to bring their own documents out into the limelight, because that does two things. That stops people from dissenting against people like us. You know, because if your ground is in the writings of these individuals, then you see you're on very strong ground, because anybody can muck-sling at people like us when we start to bring up these subjects and try to impress its importance on our brothers and sisters in the world. And of course, we know what their first reaction is, which is to just completely, you know, dismiss it and to defy us and to try and shout us down. Because as I've said so many times, you know, to my audiences, we better understand that when you set yourself up as a teacher, you're also setting yourself up as a threat. In fact, I've often said that the word teacher is synonymous with the word threat. Because as soon as you try to come up against people's belief systems, you're going to be perceived as a threat. That's obvious. But once you go to the actual horse's mouth, so to speak, and you reveal passages like that, and that's not the only one. You know, anyone who's bothered to read the works of the revolutionaries like Mazzini, and anyone who's bothered to read Albert Pike and all of his henchmen, and the many hundreds of other people working for secret societies, right up to the present day, what we've got to understand is that most of the politicians that are put before us, even including some of those that appear to be benign, like, you know, the head of the United Nations, you know, Kofi Annan, and you know, maybe people like Nelson Mandela, you know, who get a standing ovation wherever they go. We've got to realize that these people are agents of secret societies. They're not just, you know, popping out of the blue, and they don't just belong to merely political societies. These are people who work for Big Brother and for some very hidden forces. And when you go to their actual works, or when you go to commentaries on their works, then you will find statements like this incredible one that show that, first of all, just like Wernher von Braun was able to predict 25 years before the actual event that there would be an invasion into Iraq, so it is with these people. Decades, sometimes generations before the event, they're telling you what the game plan is. And that is because most of the things that happen in history are orchestrated. This conflict of what we're laughingly calling Jews and Islamic people is just a full conflict created from further up the pyramid. First of all, hopefully we'll get into it today, is that the people that think of themselves as Jews and that they are called Jews by the world are not the Jews, the real Jews, the real Jews. The real Jews are, of course, the cult of Aton that we were talking about and the royal dynasties of Europe. But they are very aware that they might be exposed at certain points in time. Luciferians, by definition, cannot afford to let their belief systems and their rites and practices be known publicly, because they would be annihilated, you know, if they were. So they have a very, very elaborate strategies to cover up. And one of the best ones that they have created is to create a faux Judaism and a faux Christianity, very low-level stuff. This is the stuff of the pawns, the unthinking masses. And then they embroil those individuals in conflicts, which is very easy to do. It's the same conflict, you know, that the two neighbors have over the garden hedge or something, or over some barking dog.
Yeah.
It's very simple to do. And they're amazed at how simple it is. So they create this faux Judaism. There's not 80% of the people calling themselves Jews are not even remotely connected to anyone in Palestine. The Temple of Jerusalem has yet to be discovered. They don't even know where it was, yet, of course, if you watch any of these Christian pro-Zionist evangelists, they'll always be telling you, you know, they're taking trips to Jerusalem and they know where it was. And yet archaeologists, the people in charge of things like that, cannot find it.
Mm-hmm.
So these conflicts that exist are exactly the same kind of conflicts that existed, say, in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Or they're the same tribal disputes that have existed in every country in the world, like South Africa or, you know, or Nicaragua, you see? Yeah. Or that's happening in the Amazon rainforests right now where, you know, corporate forces are trying to oppose different tribal groups down there. I mean, this is done right today. This is not something old. Look at Bosnia. Look at what's going on. These are tribal situations. Now, the conflicts that are happening in the Middle East today, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, the Arab Emirates, okay, that is a precise creation of the British government post First and Second World War, when they divided up those states into very, very antithetical segments, where they put very unlike people close at hand. I mean, we've got to understand that these are artificial boundaries, Kuwait, Iraq, Iran. These were created by the British government.
Exactly.
Every single country in the world that has to apply for a coat of arms or a flag, I mean, people see flags waving, but they never stop to say, what is a flag? How do all the flags have the tripartite colors? Usually there are three bars, you know, running horizontal or running vertical. How come they all look the same? Hasn't anybody got any imagination? All the countries of the world, the flags look very, very similar. Well, that's because every country in the world, especially of the Commonwealth in Europe, has to apply to the Royal College of Arms in London to get permission to have a coat of arms.
Yeah.
How come we're not told that? Although whistleblowing movies like the first James Bond movie on His Majesty's Secret Service, but people better watch that film again and pay attention to the story of the heraldry and the Bond family and what they're dropping there, the whole story of how the College of Arms is important. Well, every country, I don't care if it's some little nothing country in Africa, if you want to be part of the Commonwealth and you want to have a coat of arms, you apply to London to get it, to Masonic organizations.
Yeah.
Point being that these divisions, like for instance the ones that have been bothering us since 1990 with the ones in the Middle East, those are artificial creations, knowing full well. My point is that these were created in times past because it was known that if you give them 20, 25 years, these people are going to be at each other's throats, because we're purposely putting Christians, Muslims, and Jews beside each other who hate each other's guts. Same thing in Bosnia.
Yeah.
Those are artificial divisions. Same thing in Cyprus and Greece. The British government were all over the conflicts of the old, you know, the Greek and the Turkish conflict that caused so many deaths. And they were also in charge of the demarcations of the Slovak countries, you see, the division after especially communism fell. They got in there and made sure that Muslims, Jews, and the Serbs are the oldest indigenous people there, have been completely brutalized. Now, wait a minute. These are the Serbs who helped us fight the Nazis in the Second World War. These are the Serbs who served the Allies, England and America, in the First World War. How come suddenly Clinton and Bush and all of these people are turning on the old Allies and helping those who helped the Nazis? Are you aware, Henrik, that the Croats, these are the Utashi, the Secret Service, and the people of the Croats were Nazi supporters and still are to this day, and they fought British, Canadian, and American troops, right, in the Second World War, and they were the greatest enemies, along with the Nazis, of the Allies' forces. 2 minutes later in history, the Allied forces are bombing Serbs, our ancient allies.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. We were talking about contradictions last week.
Yeah.
There's another glowing contradiction, the shame that has been done. So your quote is exactly this. There are many, many examples of this. Not only divisive technology that's being used, this technocracy of power, but also the foresight with which these policies have been created. They're done ahead of time, sometimes many centuries ahead of time.
Yeah.
And of course, the most key part of that quote that you made is the final sentence, which talks about Luciferianism, and of course, that will always raise people's eyebrows.
Yeah.
In our previous shows and on the work that I'm doing, people better realize now that you can use a synonym for Luciferianism is Atomism.
Yeah.
So, you know, if people want a little bit more understanding outside of a Christian context, if they want to clear away the real cobwebs and understand what this Luciferianism is, because that's a well-used word, and it also has some tainted qualities. It doesn't mean the devil and all of this stuff that Christians think it means. Lucifer is just the light of the morning, the sunlight, the sun king, the sun god, the old Aton king or Aton god. So who is it that is creating these divisions between lower Jews, religious Jews, and Islamic people? Are the higher Jews, the capital J, Judites or Judeans, who are the old cult of Aton of the past, they are the ones who want to keep a camouflage puppet show in front of us so that they and their royal dynasties, the real Jews, can operate loose in the world from on high.
Is this the core of Judaism, or how far back can we take this? Do we know?
Well, the word Jew does not appear before the 18th century. The Bible never even used the word, but no Bibles used the word Jew. The word J-E-W came into existence about the 1800s, so that's very recent.
Yeah.
It really is a code word standing for Judean or Judite.
Yeah.
People, researchers, will tell you that refers to those who lived in Judea, That's also now being exposed as pretty much nonsense, that there was no such place as Judea, and it didn't refer to any coherent group of people. That's all just mind-controlled consensus trance of Judeo-Christianity that brought you up from day one telling you that there's a place called Judea, or peoples that were known as Judeans. No, it refers to an elite group of Israelite pharaohs that lived in Egypt who used that term, but it was more like the term that we would use today for judge. So rather than having anything to do with a specific race of people, it had to do with a spiritual or theological status, particularly that they were priests of the sun. So in other words, you used the word Ayuda or Yuda if you were a people of the light, that you were of the solar church. And this is what this Lucifer is also a modern catchphrase for. It just means a churchman, a man of the light, of the temples of sun, of Heliopolis, of Giza, of Amarna, and of another place called Avaris. There was a huge solar church operating in Egypt. So it goes back to that period of time, roughly about the 1400 years B.C., and specifically to the time of Amenhotep III and to the famous Amenhotep IV that we know better as Akhenaten.
Interesting.
This is about how far back it goes.
Interesting. And I mean, to connect all these different, as we talked about earlier, you know, that the Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews, you know, that if the higher up in the levels here up the pyramid, is it ultimately Freemasonry that connects these groups? Or,
yes, but remember, Freemasonry are like lower janitors, who many of them, most of them, don't know what I am talking about. What I'm talking about, I'm hoping to reach Freemasons. Yeah. And I hope to reach Rosicrucians and other people, and just as I'm trying to reach Christians and Jews to explain to them what on earth is going on in their own order. Above the 33rd degree, do you remember last week we were talking about how in the Illuminati, 8 degrees, Freemason was only number 4?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. Why don't Freemasons question this? Well, many have. And they understand that the highest degrees of Freemasonry are still very low degrees in what we would call the Atonist cult, or the Illuminati cult, or the Ordo Templi Orientis, you know, the true inner lodges of these groups. Freemason is just a wing. It was really basically taken over and utilized in the 1700s.
Yeah.
But up until that time, Freemasonry was almost a nothing organization in the world. It was more like a scholarship type of thing, a kind of a guild, a relic. Had absolutely no political power whatsoever. It was just a sort of a apprenticeship club, a semi-esoteric, very powerless organization that existed for decades and for centuries. But it had no actual real clout or power. It was brought forward and used by the Atonist cult of the Illuminati down in the 1700s when they wanted to permeate society even more than they've done already. But that's be under no mistake that the people who are at the top of the pyramid, very high up in the Atonist cult, are nothing more than the royal dynasties of Europe. And even many of those characters are still outward lieutenants. The real people behind it are the royal dynasties of the world. Many of those figures have concocted biographies, you know, so that we don't really know anything truly about them. But that's who they are. These are the royal families who rule everything. And, of course, people behind the Vatican also. Not the Vatican of Catholicism that people are probably aware of, but more from the Jesuit side and more of the secret Club of Rome, you see, the propaganda duo, the secret apparatus that operates behind the Vatican.
Yeah.
And that put the Vatican together.
Yeah, so everything here that we have been talking about and are talking about is connected. And we just have to, you know, find the correct threads to get to the source. And as you have said previously in your works and your writings and in your DVDs, that, you know, we have to go further back in time, and now we have all these smaller organizations that have been popping out from the larger ones, and now people are, you know, confused and don't know where to look or don't know who to blame, so to speak. And your job here, I guess, is to, you know, sort this out and get us, you know, further back into history where we are able to pick up on this thread.
Right. And, you know, one of the greatest problems is that the Bible has been grossly misinterpreted. First of all, like we said, the word Jew was not used until about the 1800s. We also find out that when people are talking about the religion of the Jews and they claim it to be the Torah, we've also got to understand that that is also only a very small part of the truth. But the Torah was basically the foundation of the Bible. And the Bible was put out in front of people in the 1600s, so very late. But what we've got to realize even more than that is that the text of the Old Testament is not even the true religion of the ancient Jews that we're talking about. At Mount Sinai, Moses was handed down not just 10 laws, not just the Torah, but the 72 elders, right, were given the oral tradition, which eventually in the 1500s AD becomes written down as the Talmud. Mm-hmm. And the Talmud is the doctrine of the Pharisees. The Pharisees is a new name for the Levites. The Levites is a new name for the cult of Aton. So running concurrently with the exoteric, in-your-face biblical stories, which anybody can pick up and go, there's the Bible. No. Behind that is the secret oral tradition. They even tell you about that themselves. That's not any opposer making that up. That's them telling you themselves that they have a hidden secret law, which is not good enough for even their own other 12 tribes. This was only handed to one tribe, the tribe of Levi. Well, I'm here to tell people what that extra-biblical, you know, testament was.
Yeah.
This is the old Egyptian concept that you're really worshiping Adonai. That Jehovah is nothing more than Adonai, is nothing more than Aton or Adon.
Exactly.
And that you are operating from an oral tradition. So don't forget that when you're talking Judaism, are you talking Talmudism? Are you talking Phariseeism? Because there's a world of difference between the Jewish religion that's put before us today, where people are, you know, maybe reading the Torah, and the secret tradition of the rabbinical, Pharisaic, Luciferian, Talmudic school, which involves Kabbalistic studies, which came out of Egypt. Not that there's anything negative or evil about the Kabbalah. It's just one of the secret, you know, doctrines that they operate with.
Yeah. Hmm.
And one other interesting thing about this, again, we talked about it in previous shows. People say, well, who did this? You know, they can't get a fix on where this was done. A lot of this rescripting of Judaism was done in Rome during the Roman times when Rome became, you know, converted through the works of the imposter Paul. But before Christianity was, before the Judaism was accepted by Western culture, by Gentiles, a lot of this work was done by a group called the Gaonim. And this is why you see the letter G inside the Masonic compass. It's just like putting a signature. When you're finished a piece of painting, or you're finished something, you put your signature on it. Well, that G is the signature of a super Levitical group that was in charge of the oral secret tradition and who knew that they had to codify it. What I'm saying is that they realized that you better not operate openly because you've just been ousted from Egypt. Your pharaoh is now a renegade. Other cultures might do the same thing, and you don't have a homeland, and you've lost most everything, the prestige that you had. So if you're going to exist, you better exist behind a cover. So let people understand that it was in Assyria and Babylon and later in Rome and in Jerusalem and all the way down in the centuries that the secret order of the Gaonim were the ones to create the fake Judaism, the story of Abraham, the false story of Abraham and Joseph and Isaac and Jacob, you see, the hidden, like in the next show, next time we speak, we're going to actually go into the dramatis personae and explain who these Egyptian pharaohs really were.
Yeah.
But the Gaonim were the ones who would hide the original story. It's only in recent times that authors like Mustafa Gadala and Osman have brought out the fact that there was an Egyptian pharaonic dynasty in Egypt. Well, it's taken all these thousands of years, Henrik, because the Gaonim and their Levitical lieutenants, as well as the pro-Zionist evangelist Christians and pastors and also Vatican Jesuit coterie, have been working overtime to make sure that you have a very faint and very vague understanding of what's really going on in the Old Testament and in the Bible.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
So when you see that G, when you see that G, and you see the device of the Masonic compass and the protractors, and you know that somebody's doing some geometry behind your back, they've got their signature right there, the seventh letter of the alphabet, the seventh letter of the alphabet, which relates to the Gaonim, a super secret order, and people can go to my website and read about it. Very important to expose these architects of deception.
Absolutely, and let us briefly touch upon the, you know, where does Zionism and Zionists, you know, tie into this?
I'm glad that you made this incredible quote from Albert Pike, because I've got a few more here talking about the exact connections now. Now that we've established that you can your audience can bracket the idea that when we're talking about Judaism, we are not talking about the synagogue-going Jew. The Jews that I, Micah Tessarian, am addressing are the elite Gaonim, the Levitical, British Israelite, royal dynasty, the true Atonist Jews at the top of the pyramid, not the ones that are wearing that name tag, you know, on the streets.
Yeah.
So when we look at these quotes that we're going to go through here, it's very important for people to realize that we're not Jew bashing here or Christian bashing or anything like that.
No, of course not.
We're talking about secret society intrigue.
Yeah.
And it's about time that the human race had the facts relating to that.
Certainly.
Before we go into those, shall we do the contest?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a great idea, actually.
So then we don't have
Let's take a little break there. And let me, you know, give up the number here first so that you'll be ready. If you've got a paper pen, just write up the 1-877-876-5227. And again, if you're calling from outside the U.S., just add 001. And you can also try another number here, 530-876-3222. And you can always find the numbers on bbsradio.com right in the front page or on my site, red-ice.net. So, sure, Michael, let's go ahead with a question and we'll take callers later on.
Okay. This is regarding Stonehenge. The stones of Stonehenge are basically the blue stones. And then there are the other stones that are there. Now the blue stones, there's the blue stones and the Saracen stones. The blue stones are known to have been brought to that field of Salisbury Plain from southern Wales. And of course, there's a big mystery about how they were even brought from there. But the Saracen stones were brought from somewhere else. So if anybody can, in fact, the Saracen stones were brought from Ireland. So the question is for the contest is from what county and what area were those stones of Stonehenge brought from Ireland? From what county were they brought? And the winner can get the pick of whichever the DVDs are left.
Yes, perfect. Okay, there we have the question. And again, call us 1-877-876-5227 and we'll take your calls. We'll see if we and get another DVD out. Okay, Michael, should we, you know, go ahead with some of the further pie quotes there?
Okay, now, well, the interesting thing is this, that when we're talking about, just as a preview again, when we're talking about Akhenaten, remember, we've been establishing in the past, just like Sigmund Freud had done, that Moses is Akhenaten. Now, when people hear me and then they go to the different links and they try to look this stuff up on the internet, you're going to be inundated, especially if you buy books. You're going to be just having to plow through the false story, the fiction, you know, and it's tremendously difficult to make sense of other people when they're trying to talk about the Moses story and was Moses found on the Nile and who found Moses and when did he lead the holy people out of Egypt and all of these kinds of things. You're going to have enormous trouble analyzing these other writers' works because these other writers fundamentally do not understand that Moses was Akhenaten. So let's get that across first, one thing, because I'm having emails from people who are very confused by all of this. And the confusion is coming because they're reading authors who have not yet made the connection that the three or four authors that I keep mentioning that we have done. Okay, so please realize that when I'm talking about my work with the understanding of Freemasonry, and when I'm talking about Mustafa Gadala and Osman and Ellis, you know, these are a minority of authors who've connected the dots and understood that Moses, in fact, was Akhenaten, just like Sigmund Freud was saying. But if you go to other books...
Emmanuel Velikovsky wrote about this, I think.
Exactly. But remember, he was very, very, very suppressed, his work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's very difficult to find this stuff. Now, so when everybody else then runs to the normal, quote-unquote, Egyptian websites and books, they're going to be completely confused with the dates of the Exodus the whole official story is going to be a very tiresome thing to plow through. And just remember in your mind then, when you're doing this, when you go to these works, always have it bookmarked in your head then that it's because these people have not put together some of the dots that we are talking about on these radio shows. These radio shows are actually making history because we are connecting dots that will eventually make the story of Egypt, the story of the Bible, and the story of modern times much easier for you. And the first rule is to just completely understand that when you're talking Moses, that's the author of the Torah, the author of the first books of the Bible, you're talking pharaohs, and you're talking Akhenaten, and never forget that. So that then later, when these other writers are just, you know, blustering around and just preposterously throwing out dates of the Exodus and what Pharaoh just happened to be around at the time of Moses, you see, or if you see a History Channel program on it, or you see, you know, a movie on it, don't get confused, because these people are not privy to what we're talking about, so they're going by a very official story.
Exactly.
Now, we can move on, because there's interesting connections here between, now that we've established the fact that it's the royal dynasties coming out of the ancient Egyptians, these Akhenist cults have never gone away. It was Seti II that had Akhenaten killed, because Akhenaten, although he was banished from Egypt, he kept trying to make comebacks. He'd always turn up again, and his people were doing lots of damage in the local area. So finally, Seti II actually sent his troops, and they had Akhenaten himself destroyed. But in the Akhenist cult that hid in under Sinai and tried to establish their secret government, their New World Order.
Hello, Henrik.
Yeah, we have a caller. Hi.
Okay. Yes. Hello, Henrik.
Hello. What's
this
your name,
Michael,
and
from Sweden?
Where are you calling from?
It's Michael from Sweden.
Ah, hi. Hi,
so from Sweden.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
To hear from you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yeah, Michael, I can hear you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I'm a great fan of you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that.
I appreciate your work. I got your book and everything.
That's great. I'm glad that you're inspired by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you called in, Michael. Do you have an answer for Michael's question?
Yeah, I think it's Marlborough Downs.
That's where Stonehenge is, right? It's not where the stones were brought from.
Ah, all right.
The stones of the Saracen stones of Stonehenge are brought from a specific county in Ireland, and we need to know where that is.
Okay. I'll try again then.
Well, try again, but you know, you're welcome to call again.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Call again, Michael.
Keep it up.
Good luck.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
So,
all right. Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Michael.
So basically what I'm saying is that after Akhenaten died, you know, a character called Joshua took over. And when we talk about the word David, or when we talk about the title Jesus, or when we talk about the title Joshua, we're talking about names and titles of those commanders that followed on in the wake of Akhenaten's death. But the cult of Aton has always been working behind the secret societies, working to, again, come to the head of all the other countries of the world. Now, we have it in the Bible. We don't have to look any further than that, where there is a covenant between God. In this case, we know that that Yahweh is nothing but Aton, and Aton is always making covenants with his people.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we're reading about the covenants between the so-called Jews and Jehovah, what we're really reading, now that we've become more specific about it, we find that these are covenants not between Jehovah and the so-called Jews as been put before us in Sunday school, but between...
Yeah. Hello there?
Yeah, we have another caller here.
Go ahead.
Hi, I think I might have the answer, although I don't know.
What's your name?
I called in last week and I got it wrong.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from London, England.
Ah, okay, yeah.
I called in last week and I got it wrong, so I'm not even going to say that I'm going to be close this time.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, were they brought from Mount Kilarus?
No.
It was, because I was reading about a legend that they came from there and were transported by Merlin.
No, that's not true. That's a legend. I'm familiar with that legend from the plain of Usnich, which was the central plain in Ireland. The central field was where the stones were meant to have been brought from. But that's actually proven not to be true, because that central plain is just a bog area. There's no way that
right.
the stones were brought from there.
I honestly, it's so hard to get facts. I don't know how you do it, because there's so many interpretations, there's so many people that don't know what they're talking about. So it's so difficult. But obviously you do an amazing job. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm not you know, correct on everything, but it is a very difficult job, and it takes an enormous amount of time and commitment. And I guess it also takes you have to have a sort of a meter, a bullshit meter, as they say, you know. And just, again, it's just practice. I'll tell you one thing. It's just like sword fencing, you know, or martial arts or something like that, or text editing. It's just purely something that comes with practice. It's really not, it's not so much a gift. It's like something you have to work at, you know, just like guitar playing or anything. It comes with work.
Well, whatever. I'll be purchasing all of your work because it's all amazing stuff, and I'll give it a couple more tries over the next couple of weeks. But I'll be getting it anyway. I was wondering if I could just ask a question. You mentioned the royal certain members of the royal family in Europe, and also the deeper members of the Vatican. Regarding, you know, the real power and orchestrators. I mean, maybe later on, or if you have the time, could you give some examples of who, if you have the time?
Yes, I as an answer to that question.
But maybe another time.
Yeah, I definitely will be hoping to do that. Or what I can also do is recommend the books that go into that specifically. So if you have my contact information and you get hold of me, I can definitely give you a list of authors who specialize in that exact field, so that if I ever don't get around to doing it, I can certainly put you onto the websites and the books that definitely do it.
Well, I'll send you an email from your website.
Yeah, yeah. Just
thank
go
you
ahead
very
and do
much.
That.
Thank you, Henrik.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very
bye-bye
much for calling. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Well, he made a good point, because yeah, we do cover so much stuff that if anyone is into a particular part of this and would like to know more, then all they got to do, this is the beauty again of the Internet, just email me, go to my links page, and use that links page. Use that links page like a resource page. A lot of time and energy has gone into putting that links page together. I've had a lot of compliments about it. And you know, people can go on there and use that as an incredible resource to find out exactly who these forces are that are behind the Vatican and the Black Pope. If people want to know about the Jesuits and the Jesuit leaders, they can do so by looking on the website links page.
Yeah, tarotscopes.com or just michaeltsarion.com will get you to those pages. So
And again, if they want to go even deeper, I can certainly recommend, you know, book lists, Lyndon LaRouche, you know, Justice Mullins, a lot of people.
Hello, Henrik.
Yeah, we have another caller. Hi, what's your name?
Yeah, it's Michael again from Sweden. Here's another try.
Okay, sure, man. Go ahead.
I'll give it another shot.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's right this time. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
How about the Mountain of Wales?
No. The South Wales was where the blue stones were brought from, not the Saracen stones. The question was about the Saracen stones.
All right. That's
a tricky
one.
Good try. You were right on, 50% right.
Okay, I'll give it another shot.
Yeah, don't give up.
Thank you.
Call again.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah, exactly. As we said, you know, full book list. That is excellent, Michael. That you can, you know, and I was in on the links page the other day, and it's massive. It's a wonderful resource. So
yeah, and I'm updating it all the time.
Yeah, I saw that. It's amazing. So everybody use that because it's excellent.
Okay, now when we see these covenants, I've got a couple of quotes from the Bible where, you know, we're hearing about the covenant, and just in our mind, when we hear Abraham or when we hear, you know, the recipient of the covenant, let's just understand that it's a member of the cult of Aton.
There we have another caller here again. Hi.
Yeah, I have an answer for you, Michael.
Sure. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name's Daniel Whitfield. I'm from Leeds in England.
Ah, Daniel again. Hi, welcome.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Daniel.
Is it County Kildare?
Yeah, that's the right answer. County Kildare.
Brilliant.
There we go. All right. We have another winner. You know, we know that routine, but do you want to, you know, pick your DVD right now? Or do you want to have some time to think about it?
I'll have a look at... the page that says what they're all about again.
I'll send you an email. You can just head on over to originsandoracles.com.
Yeah, okay.
And they will be listed there. And just, you know, drop me an email.
Yeah, I will do.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for calling.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, cool.
See you later, Michael.
Bye. Okay. Yeah, there we go, Michael.
Well done, Daniel.
Yeah, well done.
That's right. Yeah, the stones were brought from County Kildare, of all places. And the reason why I picked that question is because, again, it emphasizes something absolutely remarkable. How many people know about Stonehenge? How many times has Stonehenge been photographed from the air? You know, it's intrigued people all over the planet. And yet it's Irish in construction. There's the Irish connection. You know, what did they need to do? Put a shamrock on every stone or something? You know, they've got... Here we have the Irish Celtic signature. And yet in every show... On Stonehenge, you'll barely hear a mention of the Celts and who they were. You'll barely hear a mention that other artifacts like Stonehenge exist all throughout the world. You'll barely hear mention of the fact that at Newgrange, the great Celtic site, later archaeologists went in to break down some of the other buildings that were there. What you'll never hear from the so-called experts of Trinity University is that when you see Newgrange and you see Nauth and you see Douth, that's only a small fragment of the temple complexes that were there in Ireland. You will not hear that pyramidical type buildings were broken down and removed. You won't hear that.
Yeah.
You won't hear that many stones were turned inwards so that their geometry and so that the writing on the stones was hidden. You won't hear that because there's been a campaign to downplay the role of the Irish. Had Newgrange been left in pristine condition, if emphasis was given that the stones were brought from Ireland or Stonehenge and so on and so forth, then we would have a much healthier understanding of the Irish contribution to world civilization. And so that when people like me come on and talk about Irish origins of civilization and everybody's scratching their head and rolling their eyes, well, they wouldn't be doing that if our history books had been really properly presenting Ireland in its true, you know, its true state.
Exactly.
So that's why I chose that particular question. But
yeah,
coming back to the contracts, the so-called covenants, let's just understand from now on, because we cannot proceed further without people understanding that when you read of a covenant between a so-called Jehovah to any particular individual in the Bible, it is really a contract between Aton, the Luciferian principle, and one of the commanders or one of the high echelon leaders. And here's a couple of examples. It says, I will make of thee, Abraham, a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Another quote from the Torah is, he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from them. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods. Okay, so the Torah is inciting war. The Torah is saying, I'm not only going to make a covenant with you, but we're going to wipe out all your enemies. And hear from Jeremiah 51, thou art my battle axe and weapon of war. For with thee I will break in pieces the nations, and with thee I will break in pieces the kingdoms. So if people are telling you that biblical prophecy is coming true, yes it is. This is the kind of biblical prophecy that's coming true, where this cult of Aton and its allegiance to its God have been successful in overriding the sovereignty and the nationhood and the tribal and ethnic and racial identity of other cultures, especially particularly those of the West, because the Western nations are coveted by them. Because they're green and fertile and possess iron and tin, and, you know, in ancient times they were very mineral rich. Here's another one. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. Right? So just like the Christ, he's anointed. So David and Christ is the same thing. They're all just titles for the same anointed one.
Yeah.
Anointing, by the way, is an Egyptian ceremony. It had nothing to do with Jews.
Exactly.
We could have a whole program on the lie of anointing and the rituals of Judaism and Christianity, which are Egyptian in nature.
Yeah.
So it says, with whom my hand shall be established. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them and that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. So the Atonist cult is saying, we have lost Egypt, but we will have the world. So when you hear modern presidents talking about covenants and crusades, we have to understand that these are the lineage. These are the don't think that these presidents of America and prime ministers of the world are elected from the street level like people are made to think. Sure, they have a few of those just to give you the idea that it's true. But these are royal appointees brought up in bloodline families, but off the record so that you don't know about them.
Yeah.
So let's get out of this idea that some holy Jehovah up there making these wrathful, vengeful, violent, contracts with his chosen people. It's complete and utter nonsense. Then we have to understand another thing that proves this is the concept of Phariseeism. The word Pharisee actually means those who are set apart, meaning that they already understood themselves to be an elite. This was not about all of the people. The Pharisee, the word means to be separate. So two things we have to understand is that this was a group apart. Jews need to understand this. They've got to read their own books and decipher this. That this coterie has got nothing to do with modern Judaism, this Phariseeism. This Phariseeism is the biggest plague on the face of this earth, not just to Islamic people and Christian people, but to normal Torah-worshipping Jews.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, just to a question here. I mean, are these people, you know, the ones with, you know, alien blood? Or is there an extraterrestrial connection here?
But let's go into that in another show, because I've always spoken about the Dragon Court.
Yeah.
Yes, this Pharisaic, as soon as you're talking Atonism, wherever you see the Aton disc, you always saw the cobras as well. So the Dragon Court is very much a part of this.
Okay.
It's just that Atonism... Yeah. Atonism is a later invention of the Egyptians. Basically, by the 18th dynasty, you could say that Egypt, as what Egypt originally was in its final throes. It was never going to be the same. And certainly by the time Akhenaten has done his devastation, Egypt could never be, you know, put back in the pristine, beautiful cultural way that it was. It couldn't have been done. Him and his grandfathers had ruined Egypt. Queen Tai had just decimated the beauty of Egypt. And also they had suffered from famines and droughts and volcanoes and other things.
Yeah.
So this Atonism that we're talking about is a specific form of solar worship. I don't think that sun worship itself is a negative thing. I think that it has a high side, you know, a powerful side, and then there is this dark side, the dark side of the worship of the sun. And it's with Akhenaten that it got skewed into this particular Talmudic, Levitical way in which many ancient teachings, like of the stellar cult and of the sign of the 12, has been co-opted and hijacked.
Yeah.
Now, we say, don't forget, the so-called famous Valley of the Kings was the creation of Akhenaten. Did you know that? Kings were not buried in the Valley of the Kings. He started that.
Yeah, they haven't found that many, you know, bodies in that area.
That's right.
I guess so.
The Valley of the Kings was, again, a separatist thing. We've got to realize that the super racism that we have inherited today through the Zionist movement, and when I say Zionist, I don't mean Jewish. Well, people have understood this now, and if they don't, they better listen back to our previous shows, that when we're talking about Atonism and Zionism, we're not talking about Judaism in the way that it is known today, religious Judaism. Yeah. But this super separatist covenant, Zionism, is also featured in the fact that Akhenaten and his people did not get themselves buried in the normal places where the Egyptian pharaohs were buried. They buried themselves in what's known as the Valley of the Kings, which is a very recent area in which they interned themselves. They wanted to be buried. Pharaohs before were never buried. They were put in sort of mausoleums or in cenotaphs. They were never buried in the physical earth. This started again also with the Akhenaten. And that tells us a great deal, you see. So in 2 Samuel, for instance, it says, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them as before time." So this is 2 Samuel, where again, Israel is said to, the implication is that Israel has lost its throne and now has to find another place that's safe for them.
Yeah.
All of these are referring to something. They're referring to a loss and then to a regaining of the world outside of that. And now to, you know, probably to conclude, because we've got little time left, let's just
Just got about 5 minutes, so,
Well, that should be enough, because I want to emphasize, and it's on my website, on the astrotheology pages, people can go to the area that talks about the connection between the Freemasonry and Judaism.
Yeah.
But when we read in the Encyclopedia of European Freemasonry that each lodge is and must be a symbol of the Jewish temple, each master of the chair is a representative of the Jewish king, and every Mason a personification of the Jewish workman. That's in the Encyclopedia of European Freemasonry in 1906. Mm-hmm. Then we have from the great Yuri Lina, who is the Russian author on Freemasonry and Judaism, who's now living in Sweden. He says, "Masonic authors Christopher Knight and Robert Lomas admit that every Grand Master of Freemasonry is a priest of Yahweh." This is from Yuri Lina's Architects of Deception.
Yeah.
Then Rabbi Isaac Wise, he has a quote. Oh, we got a call?
Do we have a call?
Yeah, hello?
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Okay, Freemasonry is a Jewish establishment. Okay, this is Isaac Wise, Rabbi. "Freemasonry is a Jewish establishment whose history, grades, official appointments, passwords, and explanations are Jewish from beginning to end." And people can find these exact quotes on
our
website.
Hi, hello?
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 Yeah, hello.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. They just put me on right now. I just had a question for Michael about the age of the Sahara Desert. I was told, I heard on a program I was just watching, that it's only it only began to become a desert 7,000 years ago.
Much less.
Much less.
Even 300 years ago, it was barely the desert that it is now.
So
what caused it. I mean, I don't really believe in all the alien stuff, and but I think that you are the foremost authority for secret society information that I've found on the internet. But I like when you were talking to I think it was George Norrie. It always seemed like he would try to spin you into talking about aliens.
Well, thanks for your question. We're going to have to answer that question later in context. We're
okay.
Getting off the subject of where I want to go right now, but
okay.
You can either email me personally about those questions, or we will certainly deal with them. And in my DVDs, I've dealt with everything that you're talking about. The age of the Sahara Desert and many of these other points are also dealt with in the Atlantis DVD. It's very, very important, connecting to the age of the Earth and the creation of the deserts in modern times. Very interesting question. But,
okay,
you know,
thank you very much. Keep up the good work. I'll hang up. Thank you.
Please email me, and I'll be certainly happy to go into it, you know, privately.
Okay, yeah, I will do. My name's Jesse Watt. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Michael, we can, you know, dive into the extraterrestrial alien connection in a later show, perhaps.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, these are great, great questions, and they need to come out. But in context of what we're doing right now, I just want to finish these quotes from the Jewish Guardian of 1922. It says, Freemasonry is born out of Israel. Okay? The Jewish Tribune of 1927. Masonry is based on Judaism. Eliminate the teachings of Judaism from Masonic ritual and nothing is left. Or the quote is, what is left? Quote, question mark. Then we have from the opening speech of the B'nai B'rith. This was published in 1936. We have founded many secret associations which all work for our purpose, under our orders and our direction. One of the many triumphs of our Freemasonry is that those Gentiles who become members of our lodges should never suspect that we are using them to build their own jails. Upon the terraces, we shall erect the throne of our universal King of the Jews, and should never know that we are commanding them to forge the chains of their own civility to our own future King of the world. So again, from the horse's mouth, Michael Tessarian and David Icke and Yuri Lina, we aren't making a thing up here. We are not some crazy, fringe, freaky, you know, a conspiracy nuts. We are exposing the creatures in the White House and in the City of London who sit on the thrones of the world, whose sadism and dementia is so incredibly intense that how dare they turn around and say to the flock, beware of conspiracy theorists. Who is that asking you to beware of conspiracy theorists?
Exactly.
The most sadistic, evil, Luciferian, you know, molesting, megalomaniacal people are telling you to not use your own brain and find out what's going on. Now, as we can see from these quotes and others, and we can end with this because this is the most key point, let us not now use these quotes, as so many scholars out there are using, to bash Jews. Normally, when quotes like that are read, it is on anti-Jewish, you know, shows or in anti-Jewish paraphernalia and books. And I will not be lumped in with those people because it is not the Torah Jew, the religious Jew of today's modern world, who has no tie to the people that I am talking about. I am implicating the Habsburgs, the Hanoverans, the Saxe-Coburgs, the Gothas, okay, the whole slew, and the Vatican, of the Vatican states.
Exactly. And we need to you know, that needs to be done. And people, you know, they can raise their eyebrows just so long, I guess, and after a while, hopefully they will pick up on this also and just, you know.
Well, look, if people want to stay, if people are so, you know, blinded into their Judaism that when somebody is speaking about this kind of thing, they identify so strongly that they personally take exception, there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah,
I'm a teacher, right. And I expect people to have an open mind to listen and to step outside their narrow-minded dogma. That's the right of a teacher to ask for that. But I am not responsible if some Jewish person who hasn't done their homework, who doesn't want to listen, and who's identified himself with this evilarchy, with this Zionistic, Atonistic, Egyptian, you know, broken cult, if they want to identify with that and think that that's what the Torah is talking about, and that's what their God is talking about, then by all means believe that lie. I am not addressing you. I have no, you know, nothing to say to you.
Yeah, we have to end the program there, Michael. We're flat out of time. So
well, that's good. We got
again,
to every,
very much.
We got
yeah,
to everything, so good luck to Daniel. Got the right question there.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much for being on, Michael. And we'll take a break next week, and we'll continue August 3rd, I guess, with the next show.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All the
thank
best.
You very much, Michael. Bye-bye. Thank you. Okay, everyone, thank you for tuning in. And as we said, we'll continue this series with Michael August the 3rd, Thursday. So stay tuned, and we will have another show for you next week lined up. So thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye. This has been Red Eyes Radio.